The next few weeks, my lessons will be on Christian growth and spiritual victory. Okay, so the first thing I want you to do this morning is open up to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That sounds like a saved person, doesn't it? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's really no issues. Once you're saved, no issue is more important to what this was just speaking about. Every new believer, every believer, sometimes we get puzzled about why I still have a problem. Why do I still struggle with this? Lord, I've given it to you 10 times before this. Lord, you promised me I'm a new creature in Christ. Why is that an issue for me? Why am I struggling with that? You know, so what we do is we still have a problem sometimes with indwelling sin that we haven't gotten victory over and how it can be handled. In the next quite a few lessons, we'll be looking at what God's Word says about that. At the point that you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, he gave you the indwelling of who? His Holy Spirit. So you have his holy nature. The struggle is you're double-minded. I'm double-minded. You have a new nature that wants to please God, and you have an old nature that wants to please self. And the Bible calls that the new man and the old man. Very easy, right? In the New Testament, everywhere you look, it instructs us to put away sin. Now, again, 1 Peter, let me see here. Let's go back just a couple pages. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as a newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. Okay? If so be that ye have tasted and seen the Lord is gracious. See, because we need to set it aside. There's an ongoing presence of sin in the Christian life. And it's like with the addictions program, it's going to be which one you feed. Do you feed the new nature or do you feed the old nature? There's certain religious groups that teach you can reach sinless perfection in this life. If that was the case, don't you think that God would have given us in the epistles at least how to attain sinless perfection? He never did. He gave us tools to fight a battle. And you're going to fight it. I'm fighting it. You're going to fight it to the day the Lord takes you home or the rapture happens. Okay? And you're going to have that. And, you know, we get caught with that. And so many verses in our epistles point to that. And we'll be looking at that this morning. If we could eradicate it, we'd be told how to do it. There'd be a solution offered to how to deal with the sin problem, so you never had to deal with it again. That's not what happens. There's a spiritual war. A lot of people, you know, they have this idea, there's certain groups, they think, well, I'm going to fight against Satan. And they don't know the spiritual war is the same war that Paul fought. Because he said, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that, I know not. So you that struggle. You know, so there's things I can remember reading a book. I hadn't been saved very long. Pastor Christian gave me a book, and he says, tell me what you think. I don't think he was ready for what I told him. Okay, it had to do with living a totally sanctified life. Okay, to be sanctified means to be set apart for God's use. I don't know anybody on the face of this earth after my Savior left that has ever been totally sanctified. Okay? If I offend you with that, I'm sorry, but there's people who believe in perfection, you know, and I'm because we the perfectionists, we're talking about not sinning anymore. And I've had someone tell me that a believer cannot sin after they're saved. And I said, chapter and verse. And they pull a verse out of context, and I said, what about this, 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 and this? Well, I never thought about it that way. About the minute you think you arrived, you know what you have then? You have the sin of pride and hypocrisy. You'll be like the Pharisees who said, I thank God I'm not as other men. I tithe of all that I have. I pray three times a day. Okay? I do this, I do that. What's that about? That's about me and not about him. So when it's about me and not about him, I just sinned. And I'm being honest with you. I get caught. I have to fight that every day. Amen? The tools are given. The Holy Spirit is willing. But are we going to let him in? All right? So there's no such thing as the fully holy sanctified life being the perfect life, you know. And there's people who teach on that. You know, they talk about the inner dwelling, learning and living in the deeper things of God. The only problem I've run into people who spend all their time on the deeper things of God, they quit telling other people their need of Jesus Christ. It happens. They get so caught up in that, they don't tell others. Can we grow in the Lord? You're going to grow until the day you die, okay, or the day the trumpet sounds. He hath begun a good work, and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? You still with me? Lewis Sperry Chafer, I have some books by him, he tried to say that Romans chapter 6, is verses 1 through 10, is the foundation and the key to possibly walking in the Spirit. Turn there. Okay? Romans 6, he's trying to say this. He's pointing out one thing, and he says, this is what's needed. We're going to look a little bit this morning. We can't get through all that God says is needed. He points to this passage, and it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, they were baptized into his death? And some people, when they read that, they read water. That's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit that you received at the moment of salvation. Therefore, we are buried by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. That's how we should be, right? Walking in newness of life. Someone asked me, I was with some people last night, and I ended up quoting, they asked me about something they had to deal with. It's a newer family coming to church. And I said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are, present tense, become, it's imperative, are become new. It's a transformation as we continue to allow the Lord in, right? Where was I going with that? Okay, in chapter 6, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that this, our old man is what? that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For he that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. He said, if you can understand that, you can get the higher life. That's the foundation. It's important, isn't it? That's talking about, if you continue on, it says, reckon ye yourselves likewise, dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. To reckon means to take knowledge of and have application. In other words, dead reckoning is you got the right directions and you're following them. Dead reckoning is a term that's used military when they're trying to find their way. Okay? So you have that, but that's not the only thing. If that's the passage, it tells us, you know, we're to walk in newness of life. How do you do that? What does that mean? What does it mean to you? Okay. The early church, the closest churches, when the apostles were still here, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, those churches struggled. That's where some of the false doctrine had come out of the first couple hundred years of the church. They would struggle. Okay, Paul starts a church in Corinth, leaves that church, has to write a letter back and tell them, you're not supposed to be like the world, and you've got such sin in your church that even the world knows it wrong because the man slept with his father's wife. Judge it. Deal with it. Don't ignore it. Don't rejoice, and he's in the church with you. And so they put him out. Then in 2 Corinthians, because the guy repented, they're told to restore him. Okay? Well, that's a Corinthian church. We know that's carnal. Well, when Jesus talks about in Revelation chapter 1, he starts talking about the early churches, and he talks about the church of Ephesus, and he points to, and if you're going to help somebody, always point to what they're doing right before you point at what they're doing wrong. Okay? So they can understand that you're just looking for some change. Jesus compliments the church at Ephesus, and then he says, but I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. There's issues. Okay? So the epistles were given for instruction in edification. That's to help you get better, to lift you up. And there's no one key. And we're going to be looking at verses this morning, and we may stop. I don't know if we'll get all the way through the verses, even in Ephesus, about what Jesus, because he is the Spirit of holiness. It's, you know, when you say the Holy Ghost in you, it also says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because the Father are three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are three in one. You can't have one without having the other. Okay, so, you know, if we look at the book of Ephesus, because that's a church, and that's the epistle that people turn around and they plan on telling you how that you can live the higher life. You can be sanctified in the Spirit and not struggle in your flesh. I'm going to say, aw, I want you to say what I say after that. Aw, nuts. Okay, aw, nuts, yeah. Okay, so you look at the first three chapters of the book of Ephesus, and it's telling us all these beautiful things about us. Okay? The first three chapters describe our eternal, unchanging position in Christ. That causes a former president who was raised in a Southern Baptist church to say, once saved, always saved. Okay? Your position is conditioned in Christ. Want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Want to go to hell? Any other way will do. So you got three chapters of that, you know, and it turns around and says in chapter 1, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, verse 3, in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us where? In him. You want to deal with Calvinism? Until you're in him, you're not chosen. Chosen us where? In Him. If you look at that chapter, they try to use to say that you're the chosen, okay? They try to do that and they're trying to say, well, you know, God only saves some by His eternal edict, but the others He doesn't condemn to hell. Make any sense to you? Because if there's only some that are in the elect and the other go to hell, and he's the one who chooses to elect you, what did it do to the other ones? Oh, by their free will, they chose to go to hell? When you start looking at the doctrine outside of what God says, it makes no sense. And so many times you get false doctrine comes in because somebody pulls certain verses and they build a doctrine or a teaching out of that and ignore the other verses that don't agree with their statement. And we can all be guilty of that, can't we? So you see, he's telling them they're in a special place. And you know, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Chapter 2, in you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But in verse 4, about God who is rich in mercy for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and then raised us up together and made us all together to sit together where? In heavenly places in verse 6. It's talking about a beautiful position you have in Christ, right? You can find that in chapter 2. You find it in chapter 3. Let me see here. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for this cause. He turns around, he created all things, and he's eternal in the heavens. And it says, whom the whole family in heaven is and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by might in by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That all sounds good so far, right? Okay, you still with me? All right. Then we get to chapters 4 through 6. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you do what? Walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called, with all what? Lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. How? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now I want you to see, we just looked at the first few verses of Ephesians 4, okay, and you're told to walk worthy. You want to grow in the Christian life? You want to have spiritual victory? You got to walk worthy. It tells you how to walk worthy. No man ought to think of himself more than he ought to think, right? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Lowliness and meekness with longsuffering. I have to pray all the time, Lord, you put up with me. They've hurt me, Lord. And he'll go, yeah. But Father, do I have to be nice? My wife tells me all the time, you need to be nice. Long suffering, that means suffering long. Forbearing one another, how? Choosing. I know me, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You can choose to love me, and then you'll love me. If you don't, you'll find everything that is wrong with me. Isn't that how that works? See, because love's not a choice, or love's not an emotion, love is a choice of the will. When you choose to love, the emotions will follow. You want Christian growth? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. knowing ye yourselves likewise, what? Also, you can be tempted. You still with me? So if you want to grow, that's not Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. It says walk in newness of life. Okay, he gives a little bit to us of this, right? He tells us a little bit how to do that. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy. Paul was over them, and he's admonishing them. There's an authority in their life, okay? And he's trying to get them submit to that, and it's the teaching and protection that will help them. Because God wants us to choose to love each other and then to walk unified. Because we need to present to the world that we're different. They need to see Christ in us. They need to see us having enough faith when we don't understand to surrender to God and have peace that He's always good and He's always right and we don't always need to understand. You still with me? Okay. Got to walk worthy. What will come out of that? Look at verses 14, 15, and 16 out of chapter 4. That we henceforth be no more, because if you read about that, it says, you know, He's given us certain things. In verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What's the purpose? I've told people before, I'm not your Holy Spirit. I can't make that decision for you because it's not for me. But I can tell you what God's words say. I can tell you what I think it'll cost if you choose this way, and I can tell you what it can be the other way. But you need to surrender that to the Lord. Well, just tell me what to do. And sometimes I do, but it's the Holy Spirit's got to work. You answer to Christ, right? So He gives, that's what He gives your pastor for. I don't believe in pastor dictators. I don't believe in a board-run church because the Bible doesn't teach that. It tells you what the pastor is supposed to do. And you know what? I haven't met a pastor yet who doesn't put his socks on 1 foot at a time. You know how you put them on? Now, I know Ben over here, he's kind of good at this. He can throw the socks in the air and jump into them. No. You put them on 1 foot at a time. I put my pant legs on 1 leg at a time. One time I tried to do it twice, two at the same time, and my heel caught on one side and slid down the other, and I fell down, and Judy started laughing. She said, what'd you do that for? I just wanted to see what it was like not to put them on 1 leg at a time. That didn't say I was the brightest bulb in the pack. Okay? So he turns around. He says, that's the reason for the pastors. That's the reason He gave the apostles. That's the reason there's some prophets. That's the reason there's evangelists. It's to let the Holy Spirit speak to them to help do what? For the perfecting of the saints, bringing you to the place, because He hath begun a good work and you will perform it until what? Day of Jesus Christ. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, not just their job, but you guys serving in the ministry to the Lord in the church, reaching others. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the what? Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. For what purpose? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know how fast kids can change their minds? We're supposed to grow out of that spiritually, aren't we? I always loved that. I was a kid once. They don't believe me. They say, you don't understand. And I'm going, I'm a kook. I remember things. Okay, and I remember what my father and mother had to do to teach me. And so then I want people to apply biblical truths to the seed of knowledge. Okay? And I know what it is. But henceforth, children, why? Because He wants to bring us to the unity of the faith, not carried about with every wind and doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby we lie and wait to deceive. You want to be led astray? Just go on YouTube. Not everything is bad on YouTube. But if it doesn't work in the light of Scripture with Scripture with Scripture with Scripture, guess what? You want to believe in a flat earth? You can find it on there. You want to believe that we are all just the reincarnation of angels from the original fall? You know where you can find that? YouTube. You can find whatever you want. But study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Henceforth, there will be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the what? So you got to find out what the truth is. Jesus is the truth incarnate. And then he tells us that this book is truth. If it disagrees with the book, go slow, take your time, it'll prove itself. They will prove themselves. If you put all your eggs in a basket and you're depending on men, only one man, and he was God the Son, won't disappoint you. Even the Apostle Paul struggled at times in his Christian walk and had to learn. And it says, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him unto all things, which is the head, even Christ, by whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. I don't know why I'm here. I don't fit in. I don't have any value. Yeah, you do. Every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part that maketh increase of the body to the edifying of what? The body of Christ, which you're part of, edifying of itself in love. Well, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? You ever think about that? I don't have any value. Yes, you do. When your seat is empty, you are missed. Just by coming, you encourage others. You know, a guy starts a new church, he goes off and he's trying to lead people to the Lord, but he gets a too big of a building to start off, and people come and there's 7, 8, 9, 10 people sitting in a place that can hold 70. And they go, what's going on here? When he shouldn't have got a building, he should have built a Bible study. Got some people saved, discipled them, then started church services. Okay? People get discouraged. Why aren't they here anymore? You know what the devil will do? He'll start whispering in your ear. Start whispering in your ear. You're important. You don't think about it. You're important. You're going to reach people I'm never going to reach if you're willing to reach. You have reach into your family you know nothing about. And God wants to use you. Because what he wants to do, it says the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Some plant, some water, God grants the. And what happens to the body? It gets bigger. I rejoice every time I hear about someone in this church or even other churches where they've led someone to Jesus Christ. Body got bigger. I don't know when God says the body's complete, so I'll work until then. Amen? Okay, so now you see it, you're told to grow within the church. Well, I'm going to have a church at my house. Okay. I don't need to be. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Yeah, you can have people there in a Bible study. That's not the same as a church congregation. It's not the same as having people. Howard Bacon, I've talked to him, he cries. He goes, the outpouring of love, Brian, I didn't realize it. God is, he says, I cry every time I think about how good people are being to me. They went over and made sure his driveway was shoveled and his cars were cleaned off before he came home. They had to stop at the house. Then he went back. He's not coming back until after this weekend. Because Howard was always one who wanted to what? Do stuff for others. And now, I said, Howard, two hardest words I ever had to learn to say was I can't. What I can, I will. But what I can't, I can't. And you're older than me, brother. He's 75. Howard said to me, I don't feel a day over 60. You know, and the world says 60 is the new 40, you know, and it was less than 2 years ago, Howard was walking on the line of the concrete walls over at Mike's house helping my son. He walking up, standing up, bending over, drilling down, marking the things so that the sill plate could be put on the concrete walls so the rest of the house could go up. I'm going, and he goes, you're trying to tell me I got to go a little easier, huh, Bryant? And I said, you can either learn easy, you learn hard, but there's people who step up. Rich Tanner, when he was alive, Rich got almost blind before he moved in with his sister. He heated with wood. Didn't he, Mark? We'd find out he was low on wood, and they'd bring him truckloads. But the thing is, with believers, you got to understand this. The pastors, the people in the church, you know what we aren't? We're not mind readers. So you have to let us know. But in a family, you want to help each other. Okay, you let us know, it can happen. The Viscoms were shoveled out. Kevin Thomas Sr. got guys together and they went and did that, both places. And then he calls me up and says, it's done, Pastor. He says, okay, he calls me Pastor. Pastor Kinney calls me Preacher. Pastor Kinney's the pastor, okay? And he said, just let you know, that way you can let Pastor Kinney know so because he's worrying about everything. And he is. So we talk about it, and I let him know what's going on. Good. Is that take you? Okay. Now, Preacher, did you take care of this? And I go, no, I didn't think about that. And he says, well, we need to take care of this. Okay. You like coming in today, and driveway's plowed, isn't it? You ever think about the man who comes over and plows it? I loved it. My sidewalk and the entrance to my door was shoveled. I didn't have to worry about it. Didn't have to walk through snow. Someone from the church stopped by. Now, Russ has plowed my driveway once. I was getting out to get it. Was not there. I was taking care of something else. And Judy called me and says, honey, you don't have to rush home to get the snowblower going on the tractor. Somebody in a white truck with a plow on it come by and plowed the driveway. And she says, before I could get outside, I didn't get to see through the window. And she goes, you didn't need to do that. And they said, you've been a blessing to others. Let us be a blessing to you. When you let know, and when that was just somebody said, hey, the snow's piled up. So I want you to understand, what do you have? God wants us to grow in love. That's part of Christian growth. The Apostle Paul took the church at Corinth and said, it shouldn't be said, but there's divisions amongst you. Because they had divisions in their homes. Ought not to be, believer. There's putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Part of Christian growth. You know, you can't put on the new man until you make room for him. Amen? In chapter 4, what does it say? But if ye have not so learned Christ, verse 20, that if so you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life, the old man which is a corrupt, according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And how does he renew the mind? Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? Renewing of the mind. That you might know what is that good and perfect, or that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See how it comes together? So you put off the former conversation, you put on the new man because your mind has been renewed. You learn how what it means to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he tells us, if you're going to do that, quit lying. Start being a truth teller. I had to learn, it's hard. You know, you ever have to lie to somebody so they just feel good? Say, I've never done that. I've had over 20-some-odd years of it, because if somebody would say, how are you doing today, Pastor? And I don't want to discourage them. We've been praying for you. You doing better? Yeah, I'm doing better. I live at a 5 my whole life in pain. That's not the 5 that's going to control me, because there's people hurting worse. And that's not the 5, the level 5 of pain that's going to keep me from serving him, because I watched a man at a conference who had lost both eyes and was in a wheelchair. And he got there, they wheeled him up on the thing, they brought the mic down to him, and he preached a message. Just cut me. I said, Lord, I'm not going to complain. Thank you. I want to help hurting people. That's part of what Christian growth is. I can do all things through. You're supposed to put off the old man, put on the new man. Ephesians chapter 5. We're to walk worthy. Tells you how to do that, the beginning of chapter 4. You got to put off the old man, put on the new man. It's part of Christian growth. That's an ongoing step, okay? You ever watch little kids, sometimes they won't change their underwear until you tell them? You laugh. Maybe not girls, but boys are that way, okay? Maybe you're not like me, but I'll pick up a shirt after I've worn it a day or so, and what do I do? Smell the armpits. I can get another day out of this. You never done that? Well, you're better than me, okay? You turn around with this, and it tells us, okay, to put off the old man, put on the new. Because you know the old man stinks before the world. Oh, you say you're a Christian, and you're just like, see, put off the old man, put on the new man who was created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk how? In love, as Christ also loved us. So you want to know how that is? It's not a love like the world's love. Jesus chose to love those who crucified him. Father, if you love them, okay. Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't that what he said? But on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness is part of the Christian walk, part of Christian growth. When you stop forgiving, you stop growing. Sometimes it takes us a while to learn to forgive. It really does. Everybody, we can forgive some things real easy, and then some things we hang on to a little too long. That'll hinder that Christian growth. because that will put bitterness. If you get offended and you keep that offense, it puts bitterness in your heart. Bitterness is like a dandelion. It's a weed. Right, Dave? Makes a mess of the lawn, right? Do they go away when you cut the tops off? You've had this, for some people, you've had to spray stuff, haven't you? Yeah. Because you got to kill that weed at the root. Let it all, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all, and be ye. And my wife told me, each day she's been gone, we do our devotions, we read our prayer promises on the Psalms about healing, and she goes, are you going to be nice to people today? Why would she have to say that to me? It's a joke with us. She's turned around and she told me, I got saved. She said, you know the reason she didn't leave me when we were married? When I got saved? He says, because you got nice. And I didn't have an excuse. I didn't want what you had right then, but you got nice. And she ended up getting saved. And then she says, you know something? I'm saved now. You're not as nice as I thought. Okay? And she goes, I don't want nice, I want consistent. Just be consistent, because I'm a compassionate person, I'm a passionate person. I've always had a horrible temper, and you know what happens? You can swing up and swing down. I have to learn to shut my mouth. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Okay? So I have to be careful with that. So I turn around with that, and we're married for quite a few years, and then we get to her, and she goes, I've had your nice, I've had your consistent. The next 25 years, I want you to be consistently nice. You still with me? She had to forgive me, but she also said, you know what it is? By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You know what happens with us and the believers in the body of Christ? You get offended, and then you're nice to their face with your heart being upset with them. That's what we do, isn't it, sometimes? Oh, how are you? And you really don't want to know because there's aught between you. There's aught between us. I go to pray. I have to confess, Lord, help me. I'm failing you. Help me to love as you loved. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be ye kind. I can be kind. What's that next one say? A heart that's tender towards them. You want Christian growth? You want forgiveness? You got to be tenderhearted. Tenderhearted, doing what? Forgiving one another even as God for have forgiven you. Isn't that amazing? Forgiving one another. I haven't got through the first page of 3 pages of notes for lesson number one. On Christian growth and spiritual victory. We want the victory. We've got to understand the battle. Understand the battle. I'll leave you with this thought. We are a church that believes in dispensations. That's periods of time where God dealt with people from a different manner. Okay? You know what every one of them's shown to, given you to prove? Not that Satan's your worst enemy. Is that you're your worst enemy. It's to show us, ultimately, that we are going to fail when it's about us. We won't be happy. Won't be at peace. But we can be when we make it about Him, right? Again, simple acronym, JOY. Him. Jesus, others, so Jesus first, others second, and you last. And that's where we'll stop this morning. All God people said, take a break.